Turn to the Old Testament, to the book of Exodus tonight. Amen. Exodus chapter 29. Exodus chapter 29. And then we're going to go into the book of Leviticus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 29, verse number 7. And then we're going to go to the book of Leviticus chapter 8. Amen. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Amen. I'm glad to be here tonight. How about you? Amen. Exodus chapter 29, verse number 7. If you found it, please stand for the reading of God's word. And then we're going to read verses 20 and 21. Exodus chapter 29, verse 7, verses 20 and 21. If you found it, shout, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Then shalt thou take the anointing oil and pour it upon his head and anoint him. Verse number 20. Thou shalt kill the ram and take of his blood and put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, and sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And thou shalt take of the blood that is upon the altar, and of the anointing oil, and sprinkle it upon Aaron and upon his garments, and upon his sons, and upon the garments of his sons with him, and thou shalt be hallowed, and his garments, and his son, and his son's garments with him. Leviticus chapter 8, the book of Leviticus chapter 8, verse number 12. Leviticus chapter 8, verse number 12. And he poured of the anointing oil upon Aaron's head, and anointed him and sanctified him. Verse number 23 and 24. And he slew it, and Moses took of the blood of it and put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And he brought Aaron's sons, and Moses put of the blood upon the tip of the right ear and upon the thumbs of the right hands and upon the great toes of the right feet. And Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about. Skip down to verse number 30. And Moses took of the anointing oil and of the blood that was upon the altar, and sprinkled it upon Aaron and upon his garments, and upon his sons and upon his sons' garments with him, and sanctified Aaron and his garments and his sons' garments with him. Amen. They're going to blast the shofar tonight. And I want you to give God a shout of praise in this place. Amen. Topic tonight, from head to toe. How many knows that our life can sometimes be uncertain?
Yes.
From one moment to the next, you never know what you may face. You never know what is around the corner. But for one thing that is certain, Jesus remains constant. There is no wavering or changing in him, as the scripture declares. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he changes not. We can take him at his word. He will stick closer than a brother, and will always make sure that he is there to help us in our very time of need. One writer said, I will look unto the hills for which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. We have this hope that we can rest upon in uncertain times, that we may not know what we have to face. But one thing we do know is he always has us covered. Can somebody shout amen?
Amen.
Amen. He always has us covered. And when I read to you these two, amen, passages of scripture, one from the book of Exodus, Exodus, the other from the book of Leviticus, that are actually stating the same thing. Amen. It is the time where Aaron and his sons were anointed to be the priests in the office, amen, of the tabernacle. And the Bible said that there are two elements that were used to anoint Aaron and his sons, and that was the blood and the oil. The blood is what made them worthy to serve, and the oil is what gave them the unction to do what they needed to do. Amen. So tonight, for just a few minutes, I want to focus on the blood and the oil, because as long as the blood is applied and an oil has been put on your life, there is nothing that you cannot do with Jesus tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. The blood. Amen. In Exodus chapter 12, it was the blood that was used, amen, as the death angel passed over. Leviticus chapter 4, it was the blood that was used for sin offering. Leviticus chapter 8, it was the blood that was used for the trespass offering. In Leviticus chapter 16, it was the blood that was used for the Day of Atonement. In Genesis chapter 15, verses 17 and 18, it was the blood that was used to make a covenant between Abram and the Lord. You see, the blood always belonged to the Lord. Amen. God always required the blood. The book of Leviticus mentions blood more than 100 times in Scripture, because the blood is what redeemed. Amen. The blood is what was used for redemption. But how many knows, amen, that the Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 and 15 reminds us that there was one that came, amen, to become not only the high priest, but he also became the sacrifice. He became the sacrifice. The Bible tells us that Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not with this building. The Bible reminds us that we have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but in all points was tempted like we are, yet without sin. It was Jesus that came and declared, "It is finished." Because Jesus' blood not only took away sin, but it also redeemed us from the curse of sin. The Bible says in Galatians 3 and 13 that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is anyone that hangs on the tree." Jesus didn't die just to save us, but Jesus died so that we can be free. And those that are free indeed. He wants us to be completely whole. I'm reminded of the 10 lepers that he healed. The Bible said that one leper came back and thanked him for his healing. This is Matthew Leslie's commentary. I believe that out of all of those lepers, a man that came back, I believe the one that came back was made completely whole, which means every place, every, amen, extremity, every part of cartilage that leprosy had eaten, I believe Jesus restored. Where there was no nose, there now was a nose. Where there wasn't a finger, now there is a finger, because he came back, not just to heal, but to make us completely whole. I'm looking at somebody tonight that says, "I'm just not healed, but I'm completely whole in Jesus." Hallelujah. I'm completely whole because of his blood. It was Jesus who said, "Father, not my will, but thy will be done. If it be so, let this cup pass from me." The agony that was upon him to bear the sin and the curse of sin upon him, but yet he was willing to be that spotless lamb that would be offered up for all the nations and all the kindreds and tongues of this world. And the Bible tells us, Isaiah said, "The chastisement
of our peace was upon him. Isaiah said, amen, that he was bruised for our iniquities. Amen. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. His blood that flowed, it was Jesus that cried there in the book of John and said, it is completed. It is finished. And the enemy knew then that redemption was coming for all mankind. In Gethsemane, Jesus won back our willpower. The stripes on his back won back our healing. The crown of thorns won back our prosperity. His pierced hands won back the dominion over what we touch. His pierced feet won back the dominion over all the places we walk. His pierced heart won back our joy, and the bruises he bore took care of the deliverance of the inner hurts and the iniquities that you and I have to face tonight. Aren't you glad that he did it all for us? It is finished. There is nothing more that we have to do. The old saints used to say, I had a debt I did not owe. He paid a debt that, amen, I had a debt that I could not pay. He paid a debt that he did not owe. I'm glad tonight it was supposed to be you and I that were on that cross. I'm telling you, it's you and I that should be punished for the things that we've done in this life. But thanks be to Jesus for the redemption story. Thanks, I know they tell us, amen, that you shouldn't preach about it much anymore, but I still believe nothing can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can make us whole again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. His blood still flows from Emmanuel's veins. His blood is still on the mercy seat tonight. His blood can still save the vilest of sinner. It can still redeem the unredeemable. It can still bring healing to the unhealed. It can bring peace to the tormented tonight. His blood is powerful. What can wash away our sin? There is power. Power. I remember as a kid growing up, we would pull out that red back handle and sing, there is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. And then Betty Jean Robinson would finish it by singing, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood that shed for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died upon the cross. And I know it was the blood for me. I'm looking for somebody on a Thursday that'll get excited about the blood. Anybody that's blood washed in this place tonight?
Come on.
Because I didn't earn it, but thank God every day his blood's available. In myself, I'm not worthy. In yourself, you're not worthy. But it's the blood that makes a difference. Amen. I had a blood transfusion. That day when I said, forgive me, Lord. Say to every morning, when you get up and you start praying, he looks you to the heavenly eye me. And gives you a blood transfusion. Aren't you glad for it?
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says his mercies are made new every morning. Hallelujah. Brother Mike Pastor, I don't have to wake up tomorrow on a Friday and wonder if his blood's still available or not. But I can wake up with this assurance and confidence that the blood's still on the mercy seat. That he's still able to clean and heal and deliver. So it's the blood that set them apart and made them worthy. But it was the oil that empowered them and sanctified them to do what the Lord had called them to do. This oil, amen, Webster describes the anointing oil as to smear or to rub with an oily substance, to apply oil in a sacred rite, especially for consecration. When you begin to look at the word, the phrase anointing oil, in the Hebrew it means an unction. It is a root word that means to paint, to consecrate. Some of us can define the anointing as an outward emotional expression, and I'm about as emotional as they come. But it is not how emotional you get to define how much anointing is on your life. But the anointing, I believe, is the unction or the authority placed on someone's life that has been set apart for the working of the Lord. Anybody that is willing to set themselves apart and let God sanctify them is a vessel that is capable to be filled with fresh oil.
Amen.
Psalms 92 tells us David declared that God would anoint us. He said, "You, my enemies, lo, my enemies." David said, "You give me strength like a wild bull." Amen. Or like a horn of a unicorn. We learned last week what a unicorn really was. It's a bull or an ox. A buffalo, if you will. Amen. He said, "You give me a horn like a buffalo." He said, "You anoint my head with fresh oil." The oil that was used to anoint the vessels of the tabernacle and the high priest and his sons is also the same oil that was used to anoint prophets and the ancient kings of Israel. Exodus chapter 30 speaks of the recipe that one had to go through to make such an oil. The principal spices of myrrh and calamus, fragrance cane, sweet cinnamon, and cassia that was mixed with a large, 1 gallon of olive oil. The word olive oil means illuminating, to be prominent or to be bright. Here's the thing. I don't know if you remember, probably some of, the older ones probably remember. You remember Dippy Doo?
Yeah.
And what was their phrase? A little dab will do you? I think we've gotten conservative in the house of the Lord. And we get the motto of Dippy Doo. Because, when we get a hold of the anointing oil, some of us are bad for pouring it. Some of us. But when you get a hold of the anointing oil, you are to pour it. The Bible says in the seventh verse, he said the oil was commanded to be poured, not just on the forehead. So when they anointed kings and priests in the Old Testament, they poured it. Which means if oil is poured, somebody gonna know it. Somebody gonna know it. I remember way back when we first got this building, Sister Rachel can probably testify. I remember way back when, there's proof and evidence over here, right here.
You got in trouble.
A pastor was not here. And I thought it would be a great idea to lay out cloths and put anointing oil on cloths and brandly new lay carpet. And there's a saying that has been here for over 17 years that April still can't get out of the carpet. Why? Because once an oil is placed, it leaves a lasting impression. I'll never forget, we were in a revival here, and there was an evangelist that was here. I will not name his name. If you want to know, I'll tell you after church. But I was sitting in the middle there, and we were praying for somebody. And I remember I had a light tan Sister Joanne beige jacket on. And I felt this oily hand slap me on the back of the jacket. I wish I would tell you, no it wasn't. I wish I could tell you that I was in the spirit at that moment. But I was not. And I told myself, that is going to stain in the back of that jacket. Even though I cannot fit in that jacket any longer. That jacket is still hanging in my closet to tell you that there's still a handprint on the back of that jacket. I kept that jacket for that very reason. That when I go through my closet and I'm reminded of that oil stain, that I'm reminded that when God anoints, that anointing will leave a lasting impression. I'm looking for somebody that says, I want him to pour oil on me tonight. That wherever I go, whatever I touch, wherever I walk, whoever I come in contact with, I will leave a lasting impression of the oil that is on my life. Is there anybody that desires such a thing? He said to pour it where first?
On the head.
Why? Because if there's no head, you're dead. If the head is not right, then you're not right.
That's right.
The head controls the rest of the body. What is in the head? The mind. The brain. Where is it that the enemy attacks first?
Your mind.
Here. This is a battleground.
here. I'm going to be transparent with you tonight if I can, because we're family. It's here. And if we are not careful, we will allow it to root in here. It'll get here. And then the next thing you know, you're saying it out of here. And Proverbs says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. And Jesus said, O generation of vipers, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. We've got to realize that he wants to pour the oil. Psalms 133:2 says, it's like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the collar of his robe. Here's my amen. Here's where I want to go. I believe that we need to pour the oil on our head first, because our mind is the battlefield.
Well, hallelujah. Our mind is the battlefield.
Our mind is the battlefield. And as long as it's the battlefield, the enemy is going to try to do what he can to distract us and to try to keep us, amen, from doing what we need to do. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to be totally honest with you. This is where I'm going to get transparent. I'll be honest with you. I am just now, and I'm not completely out, but I'm on the other side of coming out of a season of extreme mental warfare.
Right. Yeah.
Mental warfare. Kept me up at night. Most folks don't know. I drove Trisha crazy. Getting up, walking, pacing, walking, pacing, walking, pacing. There was a part of my bed to my bathroom. The carpet is worn out because I would just pace and walk and cry. Pace and walk and cry. And you say, well, what was you worried about? Lies. The enemy would put lies in my head. He would tell me this and that and the other, and I'm not even going to go into all of it because I don't even want to give him the credit for it.
Amen.
But he would put lies in my head, and I'm just going to be honest with you. He would use lies that he would put in my head. He would put scenarios in my mind that he would try, amen, and then he would have you read into stuff. Social media drove me crazy. Come on. All kinds of stuff. I thought people were mad at me. People were offended at me. People were this, that, and the other. Amen. And I just wanted to crawl in a hole and stay there.
Yeah.
I'm just being real with you.
Yeah.
I would cry. I would say, God, I need help. I consulted Pastor Jeff. I would text him and say, please pray for me. I can't deal with this any longer. Oh, I would still go and travel and preach and do what I knew I needed to do. And the Lord would be there and the anointing would show up. And God would be, and I would feel the anointing at the service church, even here. And I thought, this is it. I've got breakthrough and deliverance. And all of a sudden, phew, and I would let it root. And here's how I would let it root. I would start thinking about it. And then I thought, well, maybe, that's the key right there. That's the key. And I would let it root and root and root. About 4 weeks ago, Trisha and I were in Franklin, Ohio, preaching revival in Franklin, Ohio. And I was battling. I was battling terribly in my mind. I would go and preach revival, Sister April, but my mind was just everywhere. And Sister Joanne, I received a text. On a Tuesday night, right before Trish and I would walk out the door to drive to Franklin, I received a text from a fellow pastor in Florence, Kentucky. And he said, Brother Leslie, he said, the Lord spoke to me and said to tell you that the enemy's trying to slow you down. And I thought, amen.
Yeah.
And then he told me a few other things that I was dealing with that I knew the Lord had shared with him. So I received that word, went and preached, and then bam, there it was again. That Thursday, I received a call from a sister, amen, from down south. And she was talking, and she said, I just feel impressed to call you and tell you that the Lord spoke to me and said to tell you that the enemy's trying to slow you down. Two, I said, okay, God, I'm listening. I'm listening. And I felt, okay, I'm going to take it. Sunday was pastor appreciation here. It was the week of pastor appreciation, and Sunday was pastor appreciation here. And Sister Gail Dalton was here preaching. and her husband, Pastor Denny, was here preaching as well together. And she was working the altar. She said, "Come here." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." Anybody knows her, you don't tell her no. I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "The Lord spoke to me just a moment ago to tell you the enemy's trying to slow you down." Those three folks were not in communication with each other, nor did I tell any of them what the other had said. And I'm telling you, after that word was given to me, the Lord spoke to me and he said, "Start casting it down." People probably think I've lost my mind. Sometimes I'm glad I'm the only one at home when I'm working from home because people think I've probably lost my mind. But when those thoughts come, and they still do, I was telling Trisha that the other day. Amen. I said, "Pray for me." I said, "The enemy's." She said, "Well, I thought you said you were delivered." I said, "I'm telling you, the enemy's relentless. He'll still whisper in your mind. But I've learned in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and 4 and 5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Here's what I've learned to do. When the enemy comes and whispers and tries to plant it in my mind, I pause right where I'm what I'm doing, and this is how it works for me. Out loud, I say, "Devil, the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. I'm pulling down the strongholds." And what I'm finding is the more I rebuke him, the less and less those thoughts linger and stay. Amen. I get tempted to try to go on a search. Amen. To try to analyze and figure it out. And the Holy Ghost says, "Nope, I got it. Just sit back. Let me do what I need to do." See, I believe in this hour, God wants us to have an anointing poured on our head, because we cannot be distracted in this last moment. We cannot be distracted. He said to pour it on their head, then to anoint the right side. Why the right side? Because it's the right side. That's the side of power and authority. Amen. He said to anoint the ears. The ears represent hearing. It is symbolic of hearing God. And to be obedient to his word. God's looking for us to hear him. We no longer can get 2 fleeces, 5 confirmations. 3 words of prophecy and a word of knowledge before we be obedient. Amen. We must be cautious and not be distracted by all the noises that are going on. That the enemy tries to use to distract us, because we must hear his voice clearly in the time that we live in. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Somebody says, "Is he speaking?" Sure, if we're listening. Mm-hmm. So he wants to anoint our ears that we can hear. Then he said, "You anoint the right thumb with the blood and the oil." Why? Because the thumb is opposable, which means it can resist or attack or fight. Right. Although it's part of the hand, it is more like a separate part. It is symbolic to work. God will anoint the working of our hands. Our thumbs helps us to hold on to things. To get a grip. Yeah. Somebody say, "Just get a grip." Yeah. Amen. It'll help us to get a grip. And to hold on. That when the enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy, things are not easily slipped out of our hands. Because I'm standing and holding on to the promises. Amen. Of Christ my King.
Yes.
I'm believing that his peace is mine. His joy is mine. His love is mine. I'm holding on to it. That when the enemy comes by and tries to take it or steal it, he cannot have it, because I'm holding on to it with everything that I have.
That's right.
I remember, amen, that song, "When You're Hanging by a Thread." Amen. Sometimes you feel like you're just barely hanging on. But as long as your thumb is anointed, you can hang on as much, amen, as you need to.
Amen.
Then he said to anoint the right toe, the big toe. Why? Because it is the big toe that's used for balance. Have you ever had your big toe hurt?
Yes.
Uh-huh. If it's missing, you have a hard time maintaining your balance. The rest of your toes act as support. It's your big toe that gives you direction on where you're going. So if your big toe is anointed, every footstep of a good man has been ordered by the Lord.
Amen.
So he wants to pour the oil on our head so that our head stays right. He wants our ears to be anointed so that we can hear what he has to say. Our thumbs anointed so that we can hold on. And our big toe anointed so that we can walk in the paths and walk straight. But I said all that to get here to my main point. The Bible said that he told Moses to take the blood and the oil and to sprinkle it upon their garments. You know what the word garment is in Hebrew? Covering. Can I say my terminology? He has you covered. As long as there's blood and there's oil, he's got you covered. And not only does he have you covered, he has you covered from head to toe.
Amen.
That no matter what you face, no matter where you go, no matter how certain it is sometimes, he's got you covered wherever you go. That there is a blood that redeems you and makes you worthy. And there's an oil that will empower you. And I know for a fact many of us in this congregation, and especially us as a corporate body, is in a very difficult season of warfare. Individually and corporately, we all are facing the struggle and the heat of the battle. But today, after Pastor had reached out asking today, this morning, if we could be available this evening to minister, the Lord reminded me to come to Judah Tabernacle and to remind this congregation he has us covered. Even though we may be in an uncertain season, even though we may not understand why we are where we're at, even though individually a lot of us have faced warfare and struggle and mind battles, some of us have faced, amen, things in our body. Some of us have faced things, amen, that are uncertain and, amen, hard. We've got to know this, that he remains a present help in the time of trouble. He knew we were going to enter this season before we knew we were going to enter this season. So therefore, I was reminded this morning, amen, funny story, running this morning, amen, how cold it really was this morning when I ran out of the house in short sleeves and flip-flops, amen, to start my wife's car and to help her, amen, to the car before she left for work. I was not completely covered. My flannel pajama pants and t-shirt and flip-flops weren't doing it. I was like, oh, it's cold. It's cold. Hallelujah. But I'm reminded that it doesn't matter what I face, that God has me covered.
Amen.
Amen. He will give me beauty for my ashes, oil of joy for my mourning, and a garment of praise for my heaviness. He's got the oil poured on my head so that wherever I go, amen, listen, when the oil's poured, you don't have to announce it. Somebody knows that there's evidence and proof. Like I said, when the anointing's there, it'll last, amen, have a lasting impression, amen, on somebody's life. And when your ear is anointed, you'll be able to hear clearly what the Word and the Lord is saying, or the Spirit of God is saying to the church. When your thumb is anointed with blood and oil, you'll be able to hold on to the promises of God. And when the enemy comes by and says, nope, not going to happen, nope, it's never going to come to pass, nope, you're not going to get joy, you're not going to get peace, nope, you're not going to see healing, nope, that lost loved one's not coming in, you can hold on to the promises of the Lord saying, nope, I'm not about to let go now. I've been holding on to it. I've been tempted to give up. I've been tempted to throw in the towel. I've been tempted to walk away. But I'm too close to a breakthrough now. I'm too close to a miracle now. I'm looking for somebody that says, I'm still holding on tonight.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Sometimes I'm barely holding, but I'm still holding on to me. I've not let go. I've not, amen, given up. I've not backed down.
Amen.
Whew. He's got oil on my head.
So now I'm right. Yeah. My ear is open. My thumb is anointed. My toes anointed. So I know where I'm going and where he's leading me. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Sometimes that drives me crazy. I'll be honest with you. Because I'm somebody that needs to know where I'm going, how I'm going to get there, what time I'm going to get there, and how long it takes to get there. Amen. I Google, I map it, and I'm like, okay, we got to leave the house. And it don't always happen that way. I got to leave at this time to make it by this time, and I got to put traffic in at this time. Da, 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 da. I have to know ahead of time. I'm already started to plan my day out, amen, for tomorrow. In the back of my mind, I'm already, amen, planning what I'm going to do tomorrow after work, what I've got to do, amen, for the weekend. That's just the way I work. I'm not a fly-by-night in the seat of my pants kind of person. So it's kind of hard for an analytical thinker like me that tries to figure things out and fix it on their own for the Lord to look and say, just walk by faith. Where am I going? To a city, Abram. How am I going to get there? Follow me, Abram. Who's the builder and maker? It's the Lord, Abram. Get yourself out of the land of Uz and just follow. How long is it going to take me to get there? I don't know. All I know is I'm putting one foot in front of the other. And I'm walking by faith and being led by the Spirit. And if my toe is anointed, I'm not going to waver to the left or the right. But my eyes is on the prize. Then I've got to know that those garments in Hebrew, which means a covering, means that he's got me covered. Isaiah said it this way. Isaiah 43. He that created thee, O Jacob, and formed thee, O Israel, I have redeemed thee, and I've called thee by thy name. That if you walk through the waters, they shall not overtake you. And if you go through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame be kindled against you. I was reminded, amen, while we were going over, amen, lines tonight, I was reminded of that scripture that says, I will uphold you with my right hand. He told Isaiah, he said, I'll uphold you with my right hand, my powerful hand of righteousness. So even though it may be uncertain, even though the season may, amen, be uncertain for us, we've got to know that if he took us in it, he's going to bring us out of it. And while we're here, we don't have to worry. That's why David said, I was young, but now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging for bread. In David's life, when it was uncertain, he would say things, I look unto the hills, for which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. David would say, I lay me down and I slept, but when I awakened, I knew it was the Lord sustained me. He would say, he is my present help in the time of trouble.
Amen.
We quote it all the time. David said, you were with me. Though I made my bed in hell, you're right there. Whew. Sometimes we're uncertain whether folks will be there or not at the moment that we need them. It's just reality. All of us have been guilty of not being there. You know, it's just, but one thing we can rest assured, Jesus is always there.
Amen.
Always there. He's got me covered.
Amen.
He's got you covered.
That's right.
He's got a blood. And he's got an oil.
Yeah.
And he's got a plan. Yeah. And he's got a purpose. And he's sovereign. And Proverbs says not to lean to my own understanding, but in always acknowledge him, for he shall direct my path. And in this season that I'm in, that he's got me covered, it doesn't matter what I face tomorrow. He already is winning in my tomorrow. And he's working everything out for the good of them that love God and who are the called. I have this confidence in that one thing, that Jesus has already worked it out.
Yes. Amen.
Woo. So the Lord said to come and to remind you to tabernacle tonight on the Thursday night. I've got you covered. But not only do I got you covered, I got you covered from head to toe.
Amen.
Woo, hallelujah. Wherever I go, he's already got it covered.
Amen.
Whatever I face, he's already got it covered.
Yeah.
I'm going to hear him. He's going to touch my mind. Mm-hmm. He's going to touch my hands.
Yeah.
And he's going to anoint my feet. Because
yeah.
I've got, amen, I'm already covered.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He'll make a way where there seems to be no way.
Right.
He'll make crooked places straight.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Yes, he will.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't know what the future holds. Neither do you. But I know who holds the future.
Amen.
That my name is engraved in the very palm of his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. So in this season of Thanksgiving, though I'm thankful, amen, I'm thankful that he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And I'm extra thankful this year because I know that he's got us covered.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be all
right.
I just feel like telling somebody that tonight. Sometimes you just kind of look at somebody and say, it's going to be all
right.
Amen. Come on.
Be all right. However you want to say it. All right. All right.
All right.
Since we're on the south side, all right? I don't know if that's appropriate or not behind the pulpit. Too late now.
You ain't
sinning,
saying
I. But it's going to be all right. That's why the Shunammite woman, amen, could go before the prophet when her son was laying in the chamber dead. And he said, how is it with you? How is it with your son? She said, it is well. Because she had this confidence.
Mm-hmm.
He had her covered.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So as they prepare tonight to come to the music, amen, he's got you covered tonight. He knows what he's doing. He's got Judah Tabernacle covered. He's got the pastors covered.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm just going to take it a step further. He's got the finances covered.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
He's got the plan and the purpose already covered.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All we've got to do is lean upon him and trust him.
Amen.
And know that he knows what he's doing tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Look at somebody and say, it's going to be all right.
It's going to be all right.
I just feel that in my spirit tonight. I feel like telling somebody it's going to be all right. Amen. There's just something when somebody that you have confidence in looks at you and says, calm down, it's going to be okay.
Amen.
That there can be a calmness that will come over you and say, you know what? I'm going to come out of this thing stronger than what I did when I came down. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I've learned my lesson tonight, though in myself I'm tempted to pour oil all over your head. Pastor, you wasn't up here when we talked about the oil stain that's in the carpet. Amen.
He ain't forgot.
No, he ain't forgot. The carpet was brand new. Mm-hmm. But see, there's a lasting impression that was left on the carpet. There have been many after me that have came and poured oil all over the carpet. Amen. I'm reminded, amen, as they get ready, I'm reminded a couple years ago we were in service to visit. We visited a revival and Brother Knowles was preaching and Trisha was battling with her legs and feet at that evening really, really terribly. She was on crutches and could barely walk. Amen. She had another flare-up. And I remember Brother Knowles said, Brother Leslie, run up here. I thought that would be the Lord. Amen. For me to run up there. So I ran up there and he said, grab this oil. And I grabbed it. He said, go back to your wife. I thought, I hope he doesn't ask me to be the one that pours that on Trisha's head. But he said, give me that oil. And he began to pour it on her head. Let me just tell you, she walked in with crutches, but she walked out without them. It was in the month of February. We can't hear that Sunday. That was on a Saturday night. Sunday morning, we came to the church. I rushed in, got my seat here. I'm like, where did Trisha go? I need to come out and help her. I was just too busy trying to get in here before the shofar blasted. And here she come walking in the back of the sanctuary without any assistance, without any crutches. And the Lord touched her. Amen. And that oil was poured on her head. I'm asking the Lord to do that for us.
Yes.
That oil was mixed like a perfume that had not only did it leave a lasting impression, it had a smell to it. It had a smell to it. Normally when you've got something on that smells nice or good, somebody will ask you, what is that? Where did you find it? And how much did it cost? When they smell the oil on your life, they're going to look at you and say, what is that? How did you get it? And what did it cost? And you can say, it's the anointing, the oil. Where did you get it? I found it at the altar. How much does it cost? I don't know. Jesus already paid for it.
Amen.
Jesus already paid the price for the oil to be on our life. So as you're standing to your feet all over this place, and as we look around tonight, everybody here, I believe, is saved and ready to meet the Lord. He's coming back quickly. He's coming back soon. But maybe tonight you say, Brother Matt, I'm dealing with that warfare. My mind is a battlefield, and I'm dealing with those thoughts that are being planted in my mind, and I just need the Lord to touch my mind. Maybe you say, I need Him to anoint my ear, my thumb, my toe. I need Him to cover me because I'm facing some uncertain things, and I need the Lord to help me tonight. As they begin to sing, I want to open this altar up for you that says, I need help. I need fresh oil. I need the blood to be sprinkled upon me again to give me strength and to make me worthy. And I need an oil applied to my life. I need the oil to run down my head and cover my faults. The Bible said that when it ran down to the beard of Aaron, I wonder if it ran down his face and covered his eyes so that it affected what he looked at, and affected how he heard, and it affected his mouth, what he spoke. I wonder if some of that oil just dripped on his mouth and affected what he spoke from that moment on. Oh God, let there be an oil in our life. It took 1 gallon of olive oil and put those principal spices together to make an oil as it went through the process. There's a fresh oil that's available at Judah Tabernacle on a Thursday night. For you that have made an effort to be here tonight, God has in store a fresh oil that can be poured out upon you. Amen. So if you say, that's me, I need a fresh oil, I just encourage you maybe to step out of your seat and come to this altar and raise your hands and say, God, I just need a fresh oil tonight.